The program you are about to hear is not an ordinary radio program. This program brings you facts and ideas that the liberal media don't want you to know. Facts and ideas that American patriots must know if our nation, our freedom, and our people are to survive. Like the patriots of Eastern Europe in the 1980s, American patriots are finally starting to be heard from. This program is the voice of those patriots, the voice of the decent, hardworking, and long-suffering American people. This is American Dissident Voices. America must know the terror that is upon us. Those words were first spoken by Dr. Revelo P. Oliver, a great patriot, over 30 years ago in an anti-communist address he gave to the Daughters of the American Revolution. I chose those words as the title of my presentation to you because they encapsulate in one sentence the raison d'etre of my speeches to you and on the radio all across the country. I am determined to speak the truth while I still have the right and ability to do so. 30 to 40 years ago, a few men with vision saw what was happening to their beloved America. And a few of them actually put their reputations, their safety, their fortunes, and their very lives at risk to save this country. Many of them lost everything. The surviving Americans of today do not remember them. By the time the anti-communist movement really got going in the 1950s, it was already too late. The conspirators, which had been called, but who are usually no longer called, communists, had already entrenched themselves solidly in the government and the establishment. The patriots were trying to awaken the American people to avert a takeover that had already occurred. And the anti-communists, most of them anyway, didn't understand that the forces they were opposing were far older, far bigger, so far above mere communism, and so unbelievably evil as to be almost incomprehensible to the Western mind. It is this evil we face today. It is this evil which sends our young children into ghetto hells to be raped mentally and physically and calls it justice. It is this evil which burned to death 100 innocent church members, including 17 little boys and girls and 2 pregnant women in Waco, Texas in April 1993. It is this evil which promotes the anti-life philosophy of racial mixing and homosexuality to our innocence through the compelling and technologically sophisticated video images of modern television and so-called music videos. It is this evil which drops the mask of communism and assumes the masks of Clinton liberalism or Reagan-Bush conservatism, whichever is the most likely to serve its purposes at any given moment. It is this evil which is erasing our national borders through such anti-American monstrosities as the North American Free Trade Agreement. It is this evil which brands any and every manifestation of Western man's will to live as hate. All America must know the terror that is upon us. Now we are told by our leaders, Democrat and Republican, that communism is dead and we are entering a new world order of peace and democracy and brotherhood and a global economy. blue-helmeted soldiers under the flag of the United Nations kill those who dare to oppose the will of the New World Masters. Of course, it is all in the name of democracy and international peace, and it's all for our own good, of course. If so-called peacekeeping troops kill you, are you any less dead than you would be if you were killed by anyone else? Who are those blue-helmeted soldiers in Somalia and the Balkans and the Middle East? Are they Americans? British? Belgian? Egyptian? Indian? Russian? Does it matter, since they're all under the benevolent world control, aren't they? If the political scene in America goes in the wrong direction, will the blue helmets come here? Why not? You who are finally waking up from your TV-induced delirium, you who are waking up to the fact that you have been manipulated and tricked and used and miseducated since the day you were born, you are waking up in a world in which global power is in the final stages of concentration, in which the twisted dream that they accused Hitler of attempting, the dream of absolute world control, world government by one group, is now being achieved. They call this tyranny the New World Order. All America must know the terror that is upon us. A world government is a government from which you cannot hide. No longer will free thinkers and dissidents find safe havens as exiles in neutral or friendly countries, for all governments will be under central control. Oh, the old names and governmental forms of Britain, France, America, etc. will be retained for administrative purposes and for fooling us into thinking that we have not lost our freedom. Any government which dares to oppose this tyranny and assert its independence will find itself in the position of Iraq when that unfortunate country refused to instantly obey the edicts of the New World Order. Picture in your mind the 100,000 Iraqi soldiers retreating from Kuwait, flying the white flag of surrender. These soldiers who were obeying the edicts of the world government, but obeying them a little too late. So they had to be burned alive with firebombs. If the UN orders Americans out of the Southwest to make way for a resurgent Mexico, or orders your family to share your home with a third world refugee, or orders you to do any other thing, do you think you will have any more choice than those hapless Iraqis? You had better obey, and obey instantly. Are you so stupid as to think you have a voice in the world government? The UN, with its sham democracy, is only the visible periscope of the submarine, a small part designed to be seen by the public while the rest remains hidden. For example, again and again, the Arab nations have managed to get majorities in the UN General Assembly to condemn Israel's aggression in the Middle East. Resolutions which demand that Israel give back land stolen from its neighbors. Israel ignores these resolutions, yet no smart bombs fall on Israel. Israel's interests are sacred to the real movers and shakers in the world government, and they simply laugh at the parliamentary posturing in the General Assembly when it does not serve their purposes. All America must know the terror that is upon us. The tyranny that now rules us is a tyranny of money. The forces behind the New World Order virtually invented finance capitalism, just as they invented Marxism and communism. They believe in nothing except power and wealth for themselves. Communism and capitalism are to them only tools to enslave and gain the wealth that others have produced. Did you know that the official headquarters of world communism from the year 1872 to the Bolshevik Revolution was New York City? Did you know that the communist takeover of Russia was financed by Jewish capitalists like Jacob Schiff of New York's Kuhn Loeb and Company? Reverend George E. Simons, who as the superintendent of the Methodist Episcopal Church in Petrograd from 1907 to 1918 was an eyewitness to the Bolshevik Revolution, testified before the United States Senate as an expert witness on the new communist government. His statement can be found in Volume 3 of United States Senate Document Number 62, 66th Congress, First Session. Out of 388 members of the new Russian government, only 16 happened to be Russians. One was an American black. And all the rest, 371, were Jews. Of these 371 Jewish Bolshevik leaders, no less than 265 of them were from the Lower East Side of New York City. So you see, the Russian Revolution wasn't Russian at all. Am I saying that all Jews are conspiring against our freedom? No, I am not saying that. Many of the front men and officers of the multiple organizations of these conspirators against all nations are not Jewish. Many are men of our own race and nation. And some Jews have bucked this evil system and exposed the truth for all to see. Benjamin Friedman was one. J.G. Berg was another. Read their books, if you can find them. All America must know the terror that is upon us. Let me read you some amazing quotes that have been rescued from Orwell's memory hole by courageous researchers like Robert H. Williams and Richard Cotton. Some of these quotes are from very long ago. In the 1912 book, A Racial Program for the 20th Century, the communist Israel Cohen wrote, quote, "We must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is tension. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by the whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory. While inflaming the Negro minority against the whites, we will endeavor to instill in the whites a guilt complex for their exploitation of the Negroes. We will aid the Negroes to rise to prominence in every walk of life, in the professions and in the world of sports and entertainment. With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause." Close quote. Israel Cohen wrote that in 1912. Ask yourself, did this program cease when the Soviet collapsed? Or does it still continue today? All America must know the terror that is upon us. In Look magazine for January 16, 1962, David Ben-Gurion, the then Prime Minister of Israel, stated his predictions for the next 25 years. Quote, "The image of the world in 1987 as traced in my imagination. The Cold War will be a thing of the past. Internal pressure of the constantly growing intelligentsia in Russia for more freedom and the pressure of the masses for raising their living standards may lead to a gradual democratization of the Soviet Union. On the other hand, the increasing influence of the workers and farmers and the rising political importance of men of science may transform the United States into a welfare state with a planned economy. Western and Eastern Europe will become a federation of autonomous states. They will have a socialist and democratic regime. With the exception of the USSR as a federated Eurasian state, all other continents will become united in a world alliance, at whose disposal will be an international police force. All armies will be abolished, and there will be no more wars. In Jerusalem, the United Nations, a truly United Nations, will build a shrine of the prophets to serve the federated union of all continents. This will be the seat of the Supreme Court of mankind to settle all controversies among the federated continents, as prophesied by Isaiah. Close quote. Perhaps one must grant some power of prophecy to David Ben-Gurion. Or is it more likely that he participated in the inner circles of those who are bringing these into being? I think we should take the candid statements of these men, these highly intelligent men, very, very seriously. Another highly intelligent man, also Jewish, who was present at the very birth of communism, who was a friend of Karl Marx and who wrote articles for Marx's newspaper, was the poet Heinrich Heine. Heine wrote the following amazing words during this period, nearly a century before the rise of communism as a world power. I quote, "Communism, though little discussed now and loitering in hidden garrets on miserable straw pallets, is the dark hero destined for a great, if temporary, role in the modern tragedy. It would be war, the ghastliest war of destruction. The second act is the European and the world revolution, the great duel between the destitute and the aristocracy of wealth. And in that, there will be no mention of either nationality or religion. There will only be one fatherland, the globe, and only one faith, that in happiness on earth." How could the drama end? I do not know, but I think that eventually the great sea serpent, Britain, will have its head crushed and the skin of the northern bear, Russia, will be pulled over its ears. There may be only one flock and one shepherd, the one free shepherd with an iron staff and a shorn-alike, bleating-alike human herd. The gods are veiling their faces in pity on the children of man, their longtime charges, and perhaps over their own fate. The future smells of Russian leather, blood, godlessness, and many whippings. I should advise our grandchildren to be born with very thick skins on their backs. Close quote. Is it not interesting to note, reading in the 1840s, Heine regarded communism as temporary, as a prelude to a raceless world of, quote, "one shepherd with an iron staff," unquote, and a, quote, "shorn alike, bleating alike, human herd," close quote. Did Heine, in 1840, know something that we Americans are just beginning to understand? All America must know the terror that is upon us. Randy Weaver knows that terror. For daring to be a free man, a white separatist, and peacefully living by his convictions, in 1992, he faced the federal hit squads of the New World Order who cut down his wife and son. The survivors of the FBI set fire at Mount Carmel in Waco, Texas, know that terror. Their church community had existed peacefully with its neighbors for 60 years. But because they believed in independence and in arming themselves for self-defense, they became the targets of the faceless operatives of our rulers, out to make an example of them. To determine the true rulers of any society, all you must do is ask yourself this question: who is it that I am not permitted to criticize? We all know who it is that we are not permitted to criticize in this country. We all know who it is that it is a sin to criticize in America. Sodomy is no longer a sin in America. Treason and burning and spitting and urinating on the American flag is no longer a sin in America. Gross desecration of Catholic or Protestant religious symbols is no longer a sin in America. Cop killing is no longer a sin in America. It is celebrated in rap music. The degradation of beautiful young girls in disgusting pornography is no longer a sin in America. The killing by the multiple millions of the next generation in the womb is no longer a sin in America. But anti-Semitism is the ultimate sin in America. But as things get worse and worse, we are losing our fear of that word. We all know who it is that controls the wealth of our nation through their exchanges and counting houses in New York. We all know who it is that has deformed the minds of two generations of Americans with their television programs. We all know. Ladies and gentlemen, as powerful as these enemies of our nation are, and as much as they seem to command the wealth and power of the world, they are not invincible. Their evil designs run against nature, and whatever goes against nature and nature's God must ultimately fail. They are only men, and there are far fewer of them than there are of decent Americans and Europeans and those of our stock around the globe. Their international agreements and treaties that are taking away our nation's independence and prosperity are, after all, only words on a few pieces of paper and will have no force whatever once we awaken our people to their treachery. Their armies and secret police are only fools and mercenaries paid with paper money. Paper money which only has value because we are willing to trade our labor for it. Many of these fools will wake up and will come over to our side once we make them realize how they are being used. Do not listen to those who beguile you with easy solutions and beckon you to a populist or conservative playpen where the real life and death issues are carefully avoided. Do not listen to those who would trick, sidetrack, and discredit you with crack-brain theories of lost tribes, Rosicrucians, UFOs, or free energy. For such charlatans abound on the fringes of the patriot movement. If you are to be a participant in the battle to restore our freedom and secure the existence of white children on this planet, you must educate yourself and become knowledgeable. You must consecrate your life and your fortune and the spiritual power in your breast to this our holy cause. You must support the efforts of those who are awakening our people to their danger. You must not rest until our radio program is on 1,000 stations and can be heard every day in every corner of our nation and beyond. You must not rest until all America knows the terror that is upon us. During the First American Revolution in 1777, Simon Girty, a renegade white who had allied himself with Indians, led a band of 500 savages against the settlement at Wheeling, West Virginia. The attack was sudden, but the families were able to reach the stockade in safety. But at length, their small provision of powder ran out, and they all feared for their lives. There was a keg of powder in a house in the town, and a brave young girl named Elizabeth Zane volunteered to make the trip from the stockade to the house under Indian fire. Her stealth, her small size, and her courage served her and the townspeople well, for she returned unharmed with the powder, saving the lives of all the people of Wheeling. Many Americans living today might never have been born if not for her. We must believe, like Elizabeth Zane, that we can, by our own actions, determine our destiny, no matter how great the odds against us may seem. For if we give ourselves up to despair, then, and only then, will there be no hope. You need to understand the nature of the forces which are shaping our new and frightening era. There is no better way to educate yourself and your family than by getting a copy of our large and encyclopedic book, The Best of Attack and National Vanguard. This giant-size, illustrated 217-page book contains all the best articles from our patriotic newspaper from over a period of 12 years. We are offering you this book today as our radio offer number 4. Just send a donation of $25 or more to keep this radio program on the air to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA, and ask for radio offer number 4. This book is the equivalent of a graduate course for patriots. I want you to read this book. Send $25 or more today to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. And remember to ask for radio offer number 4. Until next week at this same time, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you that freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free. We'll be right back.